Check it out. Next weekend, George and I will be out at Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree, California. That's June 3rd through the 6th. I'll be there Friday night broadcasting live in front of a studio audience. And then on Saturday, George and I will both be hosting panels plus the big birthday dinner bash for George Saturday night at 8 p.m. Tickets and information for the events section right now over at Coast to Coast AM. You can check it out. Everything that you need is right there. Contact in the Desert next weekend. Be there. This is Coast to Coast AM. Your calls next. It is Friday night. Open lines. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. Let's go straight to the phones. Let's go to Wild Card and up in Salt Lake City. Nathaniel, welcome to Coast. You're up next.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate you letting me talk on the show. This is actually my first time. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get through the first time caller line, but I really did appreciate the show tonight. I think one message that maybe all the viewers could understand is Dr. Stephen Greer's purpose and how he's disclosing the information. As far as myself, I've been a contactee ever since basically childbirth and had extraterrestrial experiences throughout my whole life and continue to this day. And the most important thing, I think, for viewers to is disclosure comes within each one of us. So if you ever have a personal experience, you're going to get ridiculed, but there are going to be people that are going to believe you, and the ones that don't believe you are the ones that you need to help and show that enlightenment if they're willing to accept it. And it's all about perception and consciousness, like Dr. Stephen Greer mentions.
Right. And Nathaniel, if you could share with me, what have you had? Have you met or talked to or seen a gray? Or has this just been contact through stuff in the skies? When you say you've had contact, your entire life.
Well, I mean, I've had all forms of contact, the physical, being aboard a craft. I have a lot of contact through dream state, mostly now because I live in a big populated area where most of my physical contact occurred was in Southern California. I was born in Torrance, and at the early age of, I would say, about maybe 2 years old, I encountered two entities that came into my room, and my grandmother was visiting us from Salt Lake City, Utah, because that's right. Where my family is originally from.
Right.
And I told her to hold on real quick, the entities in the room, to give me 1 second, I want to introduce you to my grandma. So I went to go grab my grandma, and they weren't there. She's like, well, I believe you, but there's no one here. And so that's where it first originally started, that I can remember from back that far then, but later on through life, I had several physical encounters. Maybe they might be grayish. I can't really say they're grays because just like you and I, we're all individuals and we have different features. So,
right.
I mean, it's hard to, characterize a physical form and explain it because they're all little bit different in their facial features, but I would say kind of like a gray in a sense. But Dr. Stephen Greer mentions, some could be modified from the, some secret black project GSAPs and stuff like that. So I mean, there's a lot of
things
involved in this whole theory and understanding of ufology and everything like that. I've been really involved personally, but never in the field. I was hoping to talk to Dr. Stephen Greer because part of my contact is, for some reason, I keep getting reoccurring dreams that I'm supposed to be cross paths with him in some way or another, and this started at an early age. I don't know why but it's kind of weird to talk like that. It may sound strange, but
no, it doesn't sound strange at all, Nathaniel. but let me ask you really quick before I let you go. The experience on the craft, was that a conscious memory?
Yeah, so with my experiences, and to go further in depth, I get bits and pieces of information. I don't have the full puzzle because your mind can only handle so much information. When you're physically involved with the extraterrestrial biological entity, the experience is like every emotion running through your body physically all at one time. There's so much information because they're giving you information that you're asking and they're giving you other information back. I'm trying to work on a free energy project. I have not fully developed it all the way, but that's something I'm looking into.
Well, thank you for the phone call, Nathaniel. Thank you for the phone call, and you should go straight to his website. I think that is something that you should do. Do not pass go, and go straight there. And thank you for the phone call. Let's go from out west to the Midwest and St. Louis, Missouri, and let's talk to Jimmy. You're up next.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good evening. Ah, great. It's amazing that I'm on this show finally. I've been trying to get through for the last, I'd say, 6 months, and during some of the, you know, hardest times of the space program, it's been impossible to get through, really busy. But I wanted to also talk to Dr. Greer. I've been involved in abductions, and I actually had physical contact with an ET since the earliest I can remember was when I was 16. And now I'm 33, and at first I wasn't aware of what was happening to me.
Was this in St. Louis, Jimmy?
Yes. Actually, 15 minutes on the Illinois side of the river.
What happened?
Well, I didn't realize it at first, but I was under deep hypnosis, and I was one of the kind of people who thought that I could never get hypnotized, you know, strong-minded. I've got a degree in industrial electricity and electronics. I love electrical theory. And I really feel strong-minded, and it just happened over a period of time. And before I knew it, my whole life spun out of circles. Everyone that used to respect me or, you know, looked up to me, from family to friends, they all think that I've gone completely crazy. I mean, the things you guys talk about, I understand fully, you know, and it makes so much sense as far as quantum physics, you know, UFOs, all that, you know. And when you get to the technical aspect, the average person can't really comprehend or understand anything, especially when you start talking about the pineal gland and telepathy. And I actually was communicating telepathically, and they introduced me to some technology that, you know, basically they call it interferometer or interferometric, and they use waves, and it's almost as good as 3D. They can map the Earth. It's amazing technology. And
wait, Jimmy, don't stop there. I want to hear more about this.
Well, from what I understand, they can use it to interject radio waves. They use a light beam particle that can measure distances to like a nanometer. Like any other, it's subject to errors, but like the biggest sources that come from changes in the wavelength of a laser light. It depends on the refractive material that it's traveling through, and the temperature and the pressure and humidity. There's all kinds of things that have an effect on what we see. But, you know, different beings, and I think that's maybe how they've found some extraterrestrials, is with this technology, they're able to see an aura that, you know, maybe we're not able to see on this spectrum, because everything we see, smell, hear, and touch is on a frequency. And that's because we are tuned, like on the radio, to the same frequency that we're able to understand and see and hear these things. But as soon as you adjust that, I mean, there could be things going on all around us that we're not even aware of, because we're not tuned to that frequency, because everything is on a resonant frequency.
Why do you think they chose you? This started when you, I think you said you were 15, 16?
Particularly, I have no idea. I would imagine from my genes of, I'm German and Native American and, English. And, sometimes, you know, when you're in an environment where there's maybe uneducated people or people who don't really know what's going on, I was with a group of other guys who were fairly intelligent, and it seemed like a controlled experiment.
Well, it sounds like you also understand what they were trying to present to you.
Yeah, I mean, no one gives you. I mean, a lot of this stuff was telepathic. Use my intuition, and you have to trust your best judgment, because some of these extraterrestrials out there are very malevolent. You know, as kind as I would try to be, I mean, I would get like, you know, they will not let you get to a point to where you think you understand anything. You know, and it's difficult to deal with, but if you just, you know, kind of tell yourself that you know you're not crazy and you keep pushing through, pretty soon I figure, you know, light will come upon it and I'll be able to explain myself and, you know, come forward. And I mean, I don't want to risk any security. I don't know how the military is involved with, you know, protecting us from these extraterrestrials, but, you know, I'd like to.
Do you write everything down? And when was the last time
Yes, I have.
And when was the last time you were contacted?
As a matter of fact, probably within the last 4 or 5 days.
And what happened then?
Well, they were in a power. The two extraterrestrials I came in contact with were in a power struggle, and it was essentially one was trying to basically control my thoughts and my ability to maneuver around and just be free in a sense, and the other one wanted to, I guess, kind of help me, but I guess it was a he, because they're like, they're what you call asexual. They're neither male nor female, it seems like, or they're both a transgender. It's just weird, because one seemed to appear like a female and the other one was like a male, but like I said, they were in a power struggle, because I don't know if I'm just basically a hybrid or if they've done something to me to bring my, you know, level of knowledge to this point where I can even understand, you know, what they were conversing about. But they were definitely in a power struggle, and it ended in the female one basically just leaving. You know, I was almost assaulted, and yeah, she just basically left. It was a strange occurrence, but you know,
Do you call? Do you have the ability to summon them, or do they just appear? How does that work?
Well, from time to time they would appear, but if I believe me and the younger, there was a, I can't think of, it would be a almost like a shapeshifter or a, I mean, this person can switch from one characteristic to another, and you wouldn't even realize you were talking to the same person. I mean, almost the best actor you could ever find in the world times 1,000. I mean, it's just amazing. And this one, I telepathically, we've got a connection. I mean, we definitely have a connection, and I can think hard enough, and sometimes they'll just appear, and it's quite amazing. But the other one I just ran into just recently, and he, like I said, he's kind of a strange character. I can't really understand his perspective or his, you know, in this whole political realm of, you know, of us and versus the extraterrestrials, you know, where we stand at between the humans and the aliens. You know, when are we going to disclose ourselves and when are we going to come forward? He's just ready for it to happen right now, you know, and he's really pushing for it. And I don't think some people are ready, because I can't even get my family or friends to believe half the things I say. I mean, like I said, they respect me all at once, and basically all my friends have abandoned me, and most of my family thinks I'm just completely out of my head. and I know better, so I just hang in there.
Well, you can get a hold of me. You can just go to my website, jimmychurchradio.com, or email me through Coast to Coast and contact me directly. I would like some more information. And let me ask you this, Jimmy.
Sure.
And I would like to talk to you further. But when you communicate with them, how easy is it to do, and how easy was it to learn, or was it just straight out of the gate the first day?
Well, it wasn't what I expected. I was under, like I said, under hypnosis for the longest time, and over a year, if you believe that, hypnosis in a whole different realm. And pretty before I knew it, I was where I wanted to be, and they did what you call a polar shift, and they come into your life, and they're with you. There's nothing you can do, and it didn't take me but about, I'd say within the first week or so, we were having telepathic communications. I mean, to the point to where one would call another and say, hey, Or one, here's a great instance where one would wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, right as I'm about to ask this person a question, in the middle of the night, they'd wake up just like they knew I was going to ask them that question. And it was like, strange. Why would you even come to the realization that I was going to ask you a question, you know, and call me right now at 3:30 in the morning? You know, it's like very strange.
Has anything been negative?
Yes and no. I mean, in the last 2 years, I have to say that there is no such thing as coincidences. I'm a musician, so I notice patterns after a while. And when you start to see things that aren't quite normal and they're repetitious, and you start to put two and two together and you start to assume on your own, but you know what they say about assuming.
Yes, I do. I do. What about where they are coming from? Did they reveal any of that to you and their technology?
Well, you've heard of Michael Salas.
Of course.
Yeah, part of that, I believe, is true. There was a small planet called Gabriel, and I feel that is my main contact. And there's, I guess, Nibiru has came through the, you know, the atmosphere in the last, within this last year, it came across our galaxy. And I believe it's got to be somewhere here in the Milky Way. I mean, they've never told me exactly. They want to create a smooth transition. And it's like, I believe I'm here to kind of educate and explain the transition, you know, because I lived out in California for about 6 years. Back in like 2010, 2009, and that's when I first realized there was extraterrestrial intelligence above us, and you know, and I didn't think too much of it after I moved home, but once I figured out that they were here, it was
It must have been Jimmy. And really quick before we hit the break here, can you share with us what the craft was like? How big was it?
It, you know, I've been out with telescopes and binoculars, and I sat on my roof. I actually seen seven at once, and the ET told me it was the seven tribes of Israel, is what they called it. And there were two in the north, two in the west, two in the south, and two in the east. And they were all different colors. There was a pinkish one, a greenish one. I mean, very strange colors. But there's been a main one that I've seen for the longest time. And when you look close at it, it's a multicolored sphere. And you've never seen anything pull a 90-degree angle this quick. I mean, it's just straight. It's unbelievable technology.
Have you shot video or taken any pictures?
You know, you would almost have to have a very high-powered, high-resolution camera. I mean, because otherwise it's just going to look like a blurry, fuzzy star. And, you know, we see those pictures all the time, and they're inconclusive. You know, so I don't have that great of technology, but, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Jimmy, thank you so much for the phone call. And, again, you can just contact me through my website. Just click on my name over at Coast to Coast AM. It'll take you straight there. And shoot me an email. I would like to talk to you further. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. Open line. Sitting in for George Norrie. He's got the night off, and I'll be right back. Check this out. We all know June is a time of celebration. Graduations take place. Father's Day is observed. And summer officially begins. Right, Dan? Are you with me? It's also when the Satanic Temple of Los Angeles gets their festivities on. You got that right, because it's 6-6-16. Right? Are you with me? Doesn't make sense there's a number one there, but it's close enough for them. I don't know how big of a celebration it's going to be, by the way. They only have 12 members. And you can check out the full story right now in the news section over at Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. Open lines. Your calls next. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George. He's taking the night off. It's a holiday weekend, and it's Friday, and I'm taking your calls. And I do want to hear from you. Questions, comments, or do you have a unique experience you want to share with all of us? So we were in the Midwest. Let's go out west. Sedona, Arizona, and Blair. Welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you, Jimmy. from the 1997 book Alien Agenda, remote viewers have described what author Jim Marr speculates could be quarantine enforcers.
Yes.
Yeah, small, multifaceted artificial devices that hover about in orbit around our planet and are the cause of many of our space rocket failures.
Yes. Yep. It's a great book.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, if this is the case, what about those who promote a militarization of space for national security purposes, or, at the very least, is there an embargo quarantine on how far we can traverse out from the Earth until we get our own act together?
Well, Blair, okay, I'll tell you what. You want me to answer you directly, right?
Yes, please.
Okay, so let me just say this. The weaponization of space, none of us are comfortable with, and I get that. But just let me say, if a meteor, a comet, some space rock is out of control and is about to hit Earth, you're going to want something out there. And so you can't, it's kind of a weird paradox. Damned if you do and damned if you don't. But you are going to want something out there if something crazy is about to happen. And that's where I stand on it. Am I comfortable with it? No, of course not. None of us are. But in the event of something catastrophic about to go down, you're going to want something out there, and you'll be thankful for it in the end.
Well, I can understand that point of view, but we've gone through these hundreds of thousands of years where we've had Earth civilizations come and go, and the planet still goes on. I think we need to rediscover, Jimmy, our spirit. In other words, instead of the nuts and bolts idea and space rocks coming down that need to be destroyed, we need to understand who we really are and release some of this fear factor, this animalistic fear that keeps us on this sort of mode. You get my point?
Yeah, absolutely. But how can we grow and become more spiritual and conscious if we're not here? You know,
yeah,
so we need to evolve and continue to evolve.
I'll go for that. I guess it's one of those things we need to discuss and work out for ourselves, right?
Absolutely, Blair. And thank you for the phone call. And Blair, go have a great, safe rest of your Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's go all the way out east to Virginia Beach. And Michael, you're up next.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Jimmy, I'm about 6 feet away from the record button. Give me 3 seconds. So I will have this available to comment on tomorrow. Look, great interview with Jimmy from St. Louis.
Yes, it was. Fascinating.
What you did in talking to him is something which only Art Bell would do. It takes guts to keep people holding on the line so that you can get to something significant with a caller, because that's where disclosure is going to come from. Not from guests who can be tracked down and haunted and ruined, but from callers.
Well, Michael, let me jump in, and I want your comment. Let me throw this back to you, okay? It's one thing to take a call, okay? But the one thing that's great about Coast to Coast and my show, Fade to Black, is that people know that they can call in and they're comfortable and we're going to listen. What was important here is that Jimmy said that his own family he couldn't talk to. And I hear this time and time again from people that want to come forward. They want to get it out. I've had an experience where I didn't say anything for 10 years to anybody. Now I tell everybody, you know, millions of people have heard the story now. But with Jimmy, he knows that he can call in and he can not be judged. And that's what's most important about shows like Coast to Coast, and Coast to Coast specifically, because it started the trend. And I totally agree with you about your comment about Art, you know, and that's totally true. And yeah. And thank you for that. So I want to throw this back to you. Are you comfortable in discussing things like this with your family? Or do you have to have an outlet like this and call in and talk to Jimmy Church because you can't talk to your friends or family?
Well, I've been talking to people for a very long time. In fact, going all the way back to the early 70s, when I talked to some of the best minds in the biblical scholarship world, I couldn't find anybody who could track with an agnostic like Michael Drosnin or some of the atheists in Israel who take seriously the Bible code. You see, the whole Bible is a disclosure project backing up everything that Bill Tompkins told Linda Moulton Howe, as we heard it on this show last night.
Right.
There are many alien civilizations. You will see that described in many places in the Bible, many times in the book of Daniel alone. For example, it took three alien civilizations were involved in a struggle and in a war, which ended in Daniel being able to talk to Gabriel. He couldn't break through alone.
No, that's exactly right, Michael. You're 100% on that, and I totally agree with you.
Here's what we're going to have to do. Here's what Jimmy Church is going to have to do for Coast to Coast.
Okay.
He's going to have to sit down with the minds that can get us closest there. Believe me, there are no Bible scholars that can get us all the way there. I've talked to the biggest, the best, the smartest, and most famous of them. But if we take an L.A. Marzulich, a Tom Horn, and a Chuck Misler, they can get us close. We can start to open their minds to the point where they can open other minds. But we're going to have to bring in the purely scientific, agnostic, atheistic people who believe that extraterrestrial societies actually exist because they know them, they have met them, they have dealt with them, and they know, like Jimmy, that Jesus Christ himself was abducted. It is described in detail when he was in the wilderness. The Apostle Paul talks about being abducted. There are good abductions and there are bad abductions, but none of it happens according to Nebuchadnezzar himself. After being 7 years in the wilderness like a crazy man,
absolutely. Michael, let me jump in and just say that's an absolutely wonderful phone call. And have yourself a great, safe Memorial weekend. Let's head all the way out west, Spokane, Washington. And Doug, you're up next on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, I had heard that President Eisenhower was so frustrated with being kept in the dark about UFOs that he decided to send in the Marines to take over and secure Wright-Patterson, but I never hear what happened. I mean, were they, like, turned away at the gate, or did not get that far?
Yeah, and Doug, I wish I knew the answer to that, but your phone was breaking up. And I'll tell you what, just shoot me an email, and I'll follow up on that. And I've got enough friends out there that can answer that question, and I'll look into it myself. It's a great question. I did not know that the Marines were sent in. Let's go to the first time callers line, my hometown, Indianapolis, Indiana. Ellen, you're up next.
Hi there.
Hi, Ellen.
I was at a seminar that was taking place close to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. There were probably 10 people at the seminar that actually worked at Wright-Patterson. And they said to me, you know, are you familiar with the grounds? And I said, I've been there a couple times. So they said, well, the building in the back at Wright-Patterson, everybody that works at Wright-Patterson knows what's there. I said, well, what is it? They said, well, it has military guard on it 24 hours a day. There are only two people allowed in the building. And what it has is, and this has probably been, 15 years ago anyway, this took place. They said two survivors from the Roswell crash were in that building, and that's what was kept in there, and that one was still alive, one had died, and I think since one had died, I think I read that somewhere, but anyway, and then I said, well, how does everybody know that? And they said, well, everybody knows. You can't get near the building. It's just always under guard, military guard. And I said, well, I hadn't noticed. And they said, well, you wouldn't notice unless you were on the grounds. So they proceeded to say, just everybody knows that there's one of the survivors in there, and that there are certain people that communicate with them on a regular basis. And I was really kind of surprised. I thought, well, I had never heard of it.
What year was this? Ellen, what year was this?
Oh, it must have been 15 years ago, maybe.
And they were just speaking out in the open about this, matter-of-factly?
Yeah. You know, when you attend a seminar, you get in conversations about other things. And a few of the people had worked at Wright-Patterson, and I said, oh, I was over there, and actually, I had heard, I was always interested in the UFO thing, and so I had heard, and I said, is there a UFO, do you have a UFO at Wright-Patterson somewhere? That's what they're going, oh, everybody that works there knows. It's just
right.
In the back.
Right.
And I'm going, well, not everybody that works there knows. And they were just all talking about it like, you know, it's common knowledge if you work there that no one gets in the building behind the main facility,
right?
Because it's under constant military guard, and that only two people are allowed ever in there. So I don't know, the caretakers evidently live in there. I don't recall talking about, you know, how about the people that take care of the survivors?
Yeah, I was thinking I was thinking the same thing, Ellen. And I mean, that, how many years have gone by that there's actually still a survivor that is still alive, and
well,
that these are the rumors?
Now there isn't. But at that time, they thought one was still alive. Somewhere I saw a piece of information about the last survivor of the Roswell had died. And I can't remember where I picked that up. On the computer somewhere.
Yeah.
And anyway, they just seemed like it was just common knowledge, and they were just talking about it like everybody knew. And I thought that was pretty interesting, because I had read somewhere else that they took the Roswell survivors to Wright-Patterson.
Yeah. Thank you for the phone call. Ellen, have a great, safe rest of your Memorial weekend. And I'm here to verify. You drive around Cincinnati, drive around Dayton, and you're going to hear a good story about Hangar 18 and Wright-Patterson. Let's go right back to the phone's wild card. Let's go out to Philadelphia and Dennis. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. Now, I have a little change topics here. I have a little situation happening in my home maybe you can help me with. When we first moved here, you know, I was going through absolute hell here during the first 6 months. And as quickly as it started, it stopped. But every once in a while, you know, it'll raise its head and let me know that it's there doing various things.
What's going on?
Now it's beginning. What's really bothering me, having to coexist with this person, I don't mind. You know, if it does things, it's fine. Excuse me. But now it's beginning to interfere with my show. I record a radio show, and then I email it out to the various stations.
Okay.
Well, I'll get... Two examples. When I play my opening bit, that opens the show, and then I go right into playing various cuts, sometimes it won't let me get past the first two cuts, and it's telling me telepathically, basically, that it doesn't like the two cuts that I chose to open the show with. And I keep making mistake. It's making me make mistakes over and over again. When I change those two cuts and I choose two other cuts, then it's fine. Then the show goes on. What recently happened was I just got done finishing playing a cut, and I gave the name, the date, the label, and so forth. I play old 1950s, early 60s, doo-wop, rock and roll, and so forth. And right after I gave a description about the cut that I just played, and I saved this, you know, I'm going to email it to you, I can. It says, a voice, which I recorded, said, "I really don't think so."
Really?
Yeah.
Well, hold on, Dennis. Hold on for a second here. One radio guy to another. Are you saying that you are getting messages either electronically or telepathically, but they're telling you that they don't like what you are playing? That's interesting. Now, have you thought about, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Have you thought about going from, say, 50s doo-wop and just test run something from the 80s or 90s or throw some Van Halen or Ozzy Osbourne at them and see? I'm not joking around. I mean, just jump genres and see if this entity likes maybe AC/DC.
If I did do that, then I wouldn't be able to send the show in to various stations that play the show.
But it would be a good test, right? It would be a good test.
Well, no, obviously it does like what I play, because unless, look, you're not going to like everything, even my listeners, they're not going to like everything that I play. It's just personally, it doesn't like those two songs that I chose to start the show with. Until I change it, then it can just go on.
That's fascinating. You know? Fascinating.
But the point is that when I first moved in here, you know, I'll be a paranormal group. As a matter of fact, the paranormal group that came in to do an investigation was the group that they are called in on the Animal Planet Channel.
Right.
They came here and they did. They got a few things which they posted on their site. And, with the various investigations that they went on, and they got a few things and they posted it. And they did a cleansing. I mean, there was...
Well, Dennis, let me jump in because we're at a network break right now. Do me a favor. Yeah. Just click on my name. Go to my website right there, Coast to Coast AM. Shoot me an email. I want to hear this. Okay?
Absolutely.
And
I'll
be back in touch. Thank you, Dennis. Fascinating phone calls. Coast to Coast AM. More of your phone calls right after this short break. Stay there.